You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs. Guys We Guys Fucked. We Fucked. The anti-slut-shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yes, we're coming to you from New York City. Stand Up New York Labs. I am Corinne.
I'm Christina. What's up?
that was a really energetic opening.
Well, I wanted to talk about something that is really sad.
Well, am I supposed to talk about my thing first?
Yeah, you talk about your thing. I don't want to cry or I don't know. I'm trying not to, but you know.
I mean, I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So it's weird now. I feel like it's a weird tone now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
Well, because there's the elephant in the room of the death of
Robin Williams.
Of a fellow comedian. So it's like, I feel like there is this mentality that one person, you know, a member of the family has died.
One of the best members of the family, and you know, ever.
A super important member of the family has died. You know, the uncle that you like a lot.
That you loved so much.
Yeah. So just go ahead and get into what you're going to get into.
Well, so I just wanted to talk about depression a little bit. I know we got into it the one episode with Darren about, I touched on it a little bit with my mother.
Right.
And I think when Robin Williams died and it got out that he killed himself, everyone was shocked. I feel like people maybe had an inkling that he had depression, but he's, you know, so people don't kind of think of that when they think of
him. Were you shocked? I wasn't shocked.
No, for a reason.
I'm never shocked when a comedian kills themselves, honestly.
Well, here's the thing. My mother has depression, clinical depression. And I feel like a lot of people are quick to diagnose themselves with depression.
Right.
But if you aren't close, like best friends or a family member to someone with clinical depression, no one really knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't have it yourself, which I hope no one does, but there's a lot of people out there that do. With clinical depression, you see somebody go through the depths of hell. They want to do is die. They're afraid. I don't have depression, which is I'm thankful for. But my mother does, and you know, I've seen it ever since I was a kid. I didn't really grasp it. It was always like, why is mommy sad? You know, and she had so many moments in my life where she's such a beautiful, energetic, happy, goofy, does weird voices. Like that's who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But when the depression takes over her, she is wiped of her person, her personality.
Right.
And, you know, people, I feel like I've seen a lot of people posting about on Facebook, like, I have depression. And a lot of people do. And a lot of people have clinical depression to this point, but they don't.
Well, there's different levels, just like there is with everything.
Yeah. But I feel like when someone has depression to the point where, it's a disease like what Robin Williams had. You can't escape it. And it's one of the most horrifying things a person could go through. And it's so interesting because after he died, after the news got out that he had killed himself, I called my mom because I just wanted to see how she was doing because she's gotten to that point a couple times in her life. And, you know, I called her and she didn't answer. I called her a couple times. She always answers her phone. And she goes through these bouts probably, it was really frequent when I was a kid, but now it's maybe every couple months.
Right.
To a year, every year, you know, and it just depends. Nothing sets it off specifically. That was one of my problems growing up because I thought that I had something to do with it because no one really explained to me that it was like a disease. You know, someone with depression, you're not going to yell at a cancer patient to get better and try and understand why they have cancer. They just have cancer. It's what they have. I feel like it's similar with depression. There's nothing you can say or do. You just have to be empathetic and give that person space And
people say dumb shit. Like, this is my favorite thing that people say. They'll be like, well, you just need to make the choice to be happy.
It's not possible.
And I'm like,
So when you have cancer, you need to make the choice to all your blood cells to just be fine. And
well, I mean, there is there is a school of like positive thinking. But
and I get that. I understand that. But there's only so much you can do. Right.
No, of course not.
And you're trapped.
Like people like praying to get better.
Yeah. And you're trapped in your own body. And I realized I've been trying to get a hold of my mom for a few days and she didn't get back to me. And she's, I had texted my dad and my dad was like, I said, is mom okay? I've been trying to call her. And she's like, yeah, she's in a funk. Just don't give her space. And that's
triggered by Robin Williams.
No, before. It
okay,
just so happened.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Total coincidence. Mm-hmm. And so she emailed me and just said, I'm really sorry. I'm just being absent right now. And I said, it's okay. I completely understand. Let me know if you need anything. Mm-hmm. And I actually told her about this blog entry that Chris Gethard, who's a well-known comic in New York.
Of course, Chris Gethard, yes.
Amazing comedian. Mm-hmm. Known for talking openly about his depression.
Uh-huh.
He posted a blog entry on his blog. I think it's like Chris Gethard Show. Yes, it's the Chris Gethard Show.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it was titled, This Is What My Disease Looks Like. This is the face of my disease,
right,
something
to
that.
Uh-huh.
And he posted a picture of himself in the midst of a bout of depression.
Yeah.
And it looked exactly like my mother. Like your face, it's almost like your face is swollen. Your eyes are red. You can't even, it's almost like you're too numb to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he really articulated what it was like to live with this disease so beautifully. I really highly recommend all of you go to that. Well, we can post the link to that post on the description. It'll just give everybody an insight to what it's really like. And my mom was saying, we were just talking. I told her about the blog entry and she said, yeah, please send me the link. And one of the things that she told me was, I'm just reading from the email she wrote. She said, it robs you of all your basic needs of life. I believe it is, I get so sad because I don't want to see anybody go through that, let alone my mother. But she said, it robs you of all the basic needs of life. I believe it is the cruelest disease that a human being can endure. I loved Robin Williams so much, but I totally understand that he reached his threshold. One can only endure this torture for so long. Hopefully he's in a better place, free from his hell on earth. And it's just to know, to be so close with somebody who all they want to do is die.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a difficult thing to process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think reading Chris Gethard's blog entry really helped me because it's not, I used to think it was if I was better, if our family was better, if she had more money or something. It just has nothing to do with that. So,
of course not.
The main thing I just want to say is I really recommend everybody read that blog entry because it's the most beautifully articulated way to describe what it's like to live with depression. And mm-hmm. I think that more people should have a sense of empathy for people who are diagnosed with depression like that.
Well, I mean, everyone thinks they're an expert on everything.
Yes, and totally.
No one's really, most people are an expert on nothing.
Yeah, but another thing that people with depression exhibit, I think, is maybe when they're in those bouts or they're coming in out of them or mm-hmm. just going into them, they act like not themselves. And sometimes they snap and sometimes they just get really angry or maybe they'll say something mean,
mm-hmm.
but it's not them talking. I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand.
Well, in a way, almost like it's like a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You have this other kind of
person
in you that is representative of your disease rather than of yourself.
Right, right.
It's like a demon living inside you. Well, I think that's, people don't understand like, but Robin Williams was so happy and he brought so much joy. And I'm just like,
nothing to do with that.
And I'm like, what are you talking about right now? I'm like, and people have very judgmental views of suicide, which has always bothered me.
If you've ever said or heard somebody say, suicide is selfish, you are an asshole. I in this context of someone like Robin Williams or someone like my mother, you in your head you have no other way. You don't, it's not like you're thinking of your family or you're thinking of all, you're not thinking, you're not going through the list of pros in your life. That's irrelevant.
Well, that's someone who has clinical depression. Everyone who commits suicide does not have clinical depression.
And I agree. Yes, I agree. But I'm just,
think suicide is selfish. I think it's your, God, please don't commit suicide because I'm saying this.
Oh my God. No.
I always had a very strong opinion that it's your life. And if you choose not to want to live it anymore, you don't have to.
But please don't.
But That being said, so that's why I don't like the term selfish per se, because, I mean, no matter what you think, I pretty much guarantee you there is one person, at least one person in your life who loves you, and you leaving the planet would greatly affect them, probably a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's I've my said feelings that, on that.
I've gotten into fights with close friends or boyfriends in the past where they just get to the point where their life isn't going well and they say they want to kill themselves, and I freak the fuck out on them. I hate...
Well, of course, because you're coming from a very personal experience
that.
With it.
You're being a fucking... Get your life together. You have a choice to... You do not have clinical... These people that I'm talking about do not have clinical depression. They don't have... I don't know. I feel like people throw that term around a lot.
Yeah.
And in a selfish way.
Well, like we talked about, I think last week, there's also a difference between actually wanting to kill yourself and just not wanting to live anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, life isn't super pleasant all the time.
I've been curled up in a ball before in my life and just said, why can't I just die? Wish I could die.
But I think most people have.
I think every human being has experienced that because, oh, spoiler alert, life isn't all roses.
Right. And there's certainly we all go through time periods in our life where we are in a depression, but that is not like a lifetime of depression.
A lot of this depression is like circumstance related.
You know,
you lost your job, you have a family to support. That's devastating. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. And that's one of the reasons why I know some people in the news, we hear so-and-so commit suicide. A lot of it has to do with they lost all this money and then they have this huge family and then they don't know how to support them. And that it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just encourage everybody to read that blog entry and have some empathy for the situation.
Yeah, and Chris Gethard has done a lot of work for depression. I mean, even on his public access show. He's getting a regular television show as well, but I don't know when that's coming out. But
he's incredible. So I just wanted to talk about that because I feel like people don't really understand it. One of the reasons is because people with depression hide it so well because they're embarrassed.
Well, and also just in general, people don't understand diseases that are mental.
Yeah.
You know, so it's,
Chris was saying in this entry, he hid it from his parents because he didn't want to scare them. And he was so embarrassed. He lists all the people who knew he had depression up until he started talking about it publicly.
Right.
Very, very slim list of people.
Right.
Significant others, you know, a brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's because it's not talked about at all. And it seemed as it's my mom always felt ashamed about it.
Yeah, because
a lot of people do.
Yeah. It's like you're sad and you don't, you know, it's almost like you don't, I would imagine you don't really know why you're sad.
And I wish there was a way, I think if we all talk about it a lot, like what Chris is doing and, you know, just speak out about it, maybe that that embarrassment will go away.
Well, that's everything.
I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping. I would hope one day.
That's
but
kind of the theory behind the podcast.
Talk
about it, and then it's
and we can accept it, and this is what it is, and we're not going to try and cheer people up who have clinical depression because it's different. It's a different animal.
Well, that's why I kind of love, like, you know, when something happens to a celebrity and everyone tries to like pull the rug out from under them and be like, oh my God, did you do this? And then they just come out and say, yeah, I did that, because it's like once you admit it, there's no one can really like
if you own
get to it.
Your decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one can give you shit because you're being honest.
Like, what are you going to say? Oh, yeah, I did do that. And then you just all agree and then it's boring.
Yeah, I almost wish like politicians would do that when they were caught in a sex scandal, like Anthony Weiner with his dick pics.
You're like, I did
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I get it too. If he came on the like on a microphone and was like, yeah, I sent somebody a picture of my penis. We were sexting, or I accidentally tweeted it. That was a dumb move. But, you know, sending a picture of your penis.
To use the internet, yeah.
Yeah, you got, that's like an older person problem.
That's definitely an older person
that's
problem.
A different situation. But the sending a picture of your dick is not a bad thing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm,
I guess the marriage thing, the cheating and all that stuff. It factors in, but I don't know you. I don't know your personal life. I don't know
personal,
what you have agreements with your spouse. I don't know any of that stuff. And people love to assume the worst, and they paint him as a shitty guy.
Well, and also what you do with your dick has no bearing on how you are, how you work in government. I don't think. I mean, I know
Bill people, Clinton. There's a perfect example.
I know people could be like, well, if they're deceitful to their spouse, they must be lying to us. No, don't. You're not that important.
Yeah.
It's, you're just not, the calm down. Everyone needs to calm down about everything.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I don't know, everyone just really likes to pinpoint on like one thing that, like one bad thing that someone did during their lives. Like even, like I was telling you with the Robin Williams, like apparently Jim Jeffries said that one time he did something, quote, rapey, and he like pushed two girls' like heads together to make them make out at a show or something. Number one, like as I've said, I saw Dane Cook do the same thing at a show. Whatever. It didn't like make me like think greater of Dane Cook, but I, you know, whatever. I, if Dane Cook died, I wouldn't be like, remember that time we were at a show and he pushed two girls' heads together? Like, we've all done shit that we're not proud of. I don't think that your entire existence should be judged off one incident in your lifetime, because then we're all fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think, even that's not even like the, if you think of like the worst thing you've ever done, if people just remember you from that, like, yeah, we're all pieces of shit. Yeah. So.
Everyone's a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah. Everyone is. That's for sure. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday, fuckers.
All right.
Let's read some emails.
That's going to be real exciting.
Yeah, because this interview, I'm excited for our guests. I want to like get
And
cheerier.
Before we start, I do want to shout out, you Twitter messaged me, the nightlife crown underscore insomniac. You asked me to shout you out, but I don't see your name, so that's going to be hard. But hey, thanks for listening. You said you're a fucker for life, and I appreciate that. So this first letter that we have is from Daniel. It says, hey, first off, love the podcast, girls. It's blunt in a great way and unapologetically honest. Both of you are awesome. I wanted advice from you if possible. I'm 26, work hard, studying to be an RN, never cheated. I know I'm not perfect, but what happened to me needs some sort of logical explanation. Hope you can help. I was recently left from my girlfriend of 2.5 years. We were really, really close. We did everything together. We were each other's best friend, openly admitted. Had the puppy, met both sides of each other's families, traveled, and it all just stopped. We went to San Fran, spent an awesome weekend together. I had no idea that when we would get back, she would message me on Facebook, of all things, that she is, quote, done and can't picture her future with me in it. Goodbye. I couldn't believe it. I wrote her back on my phone asking to get an answer, but meaning to call me. But after 1 hour of getting no explanations from her, I was blocked. Then blocked from calling, texting, always of communicating. It's been 5 weeks. I have all of her things. She has some of mine. What the hell? I haven't heard anything. She wasn't the type of girl who I would have ever expected to end like that. I'm moving on, but it was such a blind side that I sometimes feel like I need to talk to her and remember, oh yeah, I can't. Like, literally, it is impossible. She told me there was, quote, no one else before she threw me away. Anyway, I'm looking for an unbiased female perspective for why any girl would do this to someone they had told the night prior, I love you, after having sex on a San Francisco getaway. What should I do? Thanks. If you read this, I can't help this figure this one out. Thank you. You two are fucking awesome. Keep it up. Number one, thanks for writing. Okay, so I definitely understand what it's like to be blindsided. I was definitely blindsided with my breakup. It sucks. Don't feel good.
Yeah, it's the worst. I've never been blindsided like that. And I've never thought of blindsiding anybody. Because usually when you break up with somebody, especially after 2.5 years, you could kind of tell it's going to happen.
Right.
You sense it.
Well, my ex always likes to say that, like, you know, we weren't getting along, whatever. I'm just a person who fights in relationships. I always do. I get bored if I don't. That's my thing. And we had been, you know, having trouble, but it wasn't anything that I didn't think we could work past. This seems even more like a blindside. Like,
really
everything
random.
Was like kind of going fairy tale. Like, number one, I'm a pessimist. So if anything's going too well, I'm like, something's wrong here. I don't know. I don't have a personal experience that I can compare this to, but I do know someone pretty well who was dating a guy for a year. Mm-hmm. She's Asian American. I don't know if that I think it kind of actually might have something to do with it. She, very smart, beautiful woman. She brought her boyfriend of 1 year to visit her parents. They had dinner or whatever, and then she didn't hear from him. He just dropped off the face of the earth. For almost a year.
What? Do you live in the city too?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing so. If they were dating, I don't think she was dating. It was a long distance.
The fuck?
Yeah, drops off. And then a year later, comes back into her life and was like, ugh, I'm so sorry. I just, and offered no explanation other than I'm sorry. Some things were going on. To me, that's completely inexcusable. Unless you were sold into sex slavery in Morocco.
And there's a guy with a gun to your head saying, don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, were you in the witness protection program? There's really very, aside from like crazy mafia-esque type scenarios, I can't think of a reason why this is okay. And I know people think they have these huge problems and they need to hide away and you couldn't possibly understand. Well, number one, if that's the reason why, you don't need to be with her anyway, because couples, you should be able to understand,
communicate
things. I know it hurts and I know you want an explanation. In some cases, you just don't get one.
Yeah, life isn't always that fair.
It's the same thing as like if your relative like dies and you never find the body, because I never understood that mentality of like, we need to find the body, like when you very well know someone is dead. And my mom was like trying to explain to me, she's like, well, it's like closure because you see it and it's definite.
Yeah, I would want that. I mean, I would want that closure.
Of course, that's going to help in the healing process, but we can't
You don't get that.
You can't wait around waiting for this person who acted completely irrationally to do that. And so, I mean, we're not going to say anything that's going to help. And we're going to say the same thing that everyone says, which is time will heal. And like, it's going to take probably a really long time if you really loved this person, like maybe a year. Like my breakup took a solid year for me to recover from.
You dated that person, because that feeling that I hate the most is when you break up with somebody after a long-term relationship and you're like, they're not the person I thought they were.
Yes, that's the worst feeling.
Fucking worst.
Because you were dating a stranger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
If you didn't see that coming, you were dating somebody who put on a front.
What I will say is, more importantly, obviously you just need time to get over it and you'll meet somebody better. But the main thing that I would be wary of is if this person tries to come back into your life, don't allow it. And I think that's the thing that
it's gonna
have
be hard.
To be most, yeah. There's really, honestly, very few explanations that would be okay in this situation. You're fucking 26 years old. You're too old for that bullshit. A 14-year-old is too old for that bullshit. And I'm really sorry, and I wish
that
I had something
sucks.
Better to tell you, but there just is no better answer.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you should try everything in your power if she contacts you to not give her the courtesy of responding. Like, do that. I've always been to the point sometimes where I have to give my friend my phone.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, it's very childish and immature, but I can't have my phone.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll delete somebody's number, but I'll write it down on a piece of notebook paper and, like, hide it under my mattress or somewhere.
Oh, deleting my ex's number was the best thing I ever did for myself.
It's freeing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, I'll read one more.
Mm-hmm.
This is from a lovely lady named Ariel. I'm a 28-year-old chick who's pretty content, but this whole childless woman thing, I fucking hate that term, by the way, as if I can't just be a woman, but I have to be a mother or a childless woman. I never regard myself in terms of having or not having kids. I'm just a goddamn person.
I don't either.
I know. A lot of people do, apparently.
That's ridiculous.
It drives me nuts. So nuts, in fact. I almost decked my 60-plus-year-old aunt one boozy holiday after her long, drawn-out nagging, why can't you just have kids? Oh, pish posh. You'll change your mind just like my Tracy did. I hope that was an accurate impression of your aunt. This went on for quite some time, let me tell you. My mother eventually made me leave the room when she saw how red with rage I became. Now, I know I shouldn't let it get to me as much as it does. I'm secure in my truth that I will never want children. Mm-hmm. So why does it enrage me that so fucking much when people, especially other women, cannot let it go that I don't want kids? I'd like to make it clear that I never bring this fact up first. Bitches have a way of coaxing you into their conversations. I often just lie, in fact. Oh, not not ready. Maybe I'll have one day, to avoid the argument. But why should I have to do that? I should be and am fucking proud that I know I don't want kids, that I know I'd never, ever want to take care, raise, or have to worry about it for the rest of my life. I guess my question is, how can we childless women calmly react to these people? Honestly, is there even a way? I wouldn't be so mad. It wouldn't be so bad if they asked, then accepted your answer and moved on from whatever their beliefs may be. But most folks I know push and push until the word
red rum.
Reed Richards.
It's from The Shining.
Oh.
Murder Why backwards. Did I know that? Red rum, red rum.
Oh, that's scary. Don't let it get to you like that, girl. Suddenly carves itself into your skin. Infuriating only half describes it. How many more holiday buzzes must be destroyed by these people? Oh, geez. I am so sorry that you have... I hate people that think they know what you want. That's why it's infuriating.
Well, and also people who have think they have like found the answer.
And it's like, what? Okay, so do you want me to have kids? I don't want them. And then I'm going to be like this awkward, horrible like parent that doesn't give a fuck, that I'm bitter about my... Like, what? Really play this out. I don't want children. I don't want to be a mother. What don't you fucking understand? That would infuriate the shit out of me.
I always have this theory that when people push things on yourself like marriage or children,
it stems from them.
They're secretly unhappy with the choices they've made, but they think that they made the choice because it's the social norm and they want you to follow the social norm.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it kind of secretly enrages some married or people with children that there are some of us out there just living free.
Living it up.
Living wild. Like it's some sort of, like we've somehow deceived the rest of the pack by not procreating or choosing one person to be with, that we might have sex with many people and have this kind of like interesting bohemian lifestyle.
It's a new concept though, I think. People, women growing up and being like, yeah, I don't really want kids.
There have always been women like that, but I think they lied to themselves, or felt pressure. You know, super shunned. And I mean, we're still being shunned, but in a less aggressive way. Also, you're only 28. Which I am also 28, so that's ridiculous that people are pressuring you. I mean, in this day and age, that's simply not... I mean, most people are not getting married or having kids, you know, depending on your lifestyle until your 30s. It's certainly us. We live in the city. No one is fucking having kids now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is whenever someone gets, like, aggressively pushing the subject on you, it's clearly coming from something within that person.
Yeah.
So that's something to think of, to not take it so personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is one of the most personal decisions you could ever make in your life, whether to procreate or not. You either do or you don't. And if you don't, do not procreate. Like, it's...
People shouldn't be asking you questions about penises going into your vagina. I mean, why don't you ask your aunt when's the last time you had anal? It's just
auntie, when's the last time someone ate your pussy out?
Yeah, it's just such an inappropriate question. Like, the other day I was waiting for the bus, and a stranger came up to this family and was like, oh, are you going to have any more? That's not any of your fucking business. What? I don't understand what gives people the fucking balls to ask these things.
Cajones.
I agree with you that I don't think you should have to lie. You don't have to make up excuses that you're not ready. Just be like, that's not something that is important to me in my life. That's not what I want to do. I want to live a different life.
Or you could also take the more aggressive approach when they ask you again and be like, bitch, did I stutter?
Yeah.
Did I fucking stutter, bitch?
You can also do
did
that.
Did I fucking stutter, bitch?
Maybe play some phrase. Clips from like some Scarface.
Did I fucking stutter, bitch?
Christina Hutchinson, ladies and gentlemen.
And you could tell me if I fucking stuttered, auntie. Anyway, we should bring on our guest.
Yeah, we should bring on our guest.
He's a fun
He's ditty. Texting me if he can go out for a smoke.
And no.
And he's very impatient.
Oh, gosh. All right, so...
just the type of men I like.
Do you want to get a little background? Or should we,
Yeah, so this week's guest, his name is Isaac. He's a man about town. I have a few types of men that I like. And this guest is, you know... The producer, business, entertainment-y Jew. He's a behind the scenes guy.
I know exactly. If I didn't know him, I know him now.
Yeah, this is one of my types, guys. So let's bring on Isaac.
Yeah. So we're back with our guest, Isaac.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Hi, Christina.
Talk to them. Act like the mic is a penis and almost
put
touch
it up.
Put it in your mouth.
Raise it. Are you gonna lean your head down like that the whole time?
I like it like this.
No, I don't like it like that, so change it.
WKGB.
No. I don't really know how you like it. So.
Oh, apparently you do for that one time.
I mean, I don't. We'll get into that.
So
You're in love with Corinne.
Well, that's not exactly true.
That was okay. A great opener, Christina.
So then explain from that sentence on.
I think when
Christina's had a briefing on you. This is not just like craziness.
That, yeah, that's why I was like, oh God, do I have to sit out there? Because God knows what the banter is.
No, we were talking about Robin Williams.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. I adopted Corinne a long time ago.
So you're incestually in love with Corinne.
I was like, and then I ate her
pussy.
So
you love eating your children's pussy.
Hold on. Corinne, would you up until the incident, let's call it, or the incident?
That ain't no way to talk about eating pussy.
How would you have defined our relationship?
You're like an
older brother, perhaps?
No, more like a dad who wants to fuck me.
Someone else's dad or your dad?
Someone else's dad.
This is a point I want to bring up because it reminds me of you two. There is a level of interest in another human being that is between friendship love and romantic love. It's not quite either, but it's a mixture of both, and I feel like that's what's going on.
Oh, I have that like with basically everybody I know.
Yeah, it's like this little bit of a crush.
But with you more, Isaac. I saw your heart drop.
There are other factors at play. Like, let's go back. Let's start at the beginning.
Start at the very beginning.
When I first met Corinne, she had a very serious boyfriend who I was friendly with, right?
Yes.
So at that point, you kind of, as a good person, I don't name names, but...
We name names all the time.
As a good person, you don't... Like, that's not something that you... Like, you don't pursue that, right? Because that's like...
You respect the fact that that person's in a
relationship. Yeah, especially if you're friends with the person that they're with.
You quill in
exactly.
The so. Inkwell that someone else already has sitting on their desk.
Now...
Yeah, all right. I get where you were going. That could have been a little smoother. Not going to lie. Could have been a little smoother.
You compartmentalize, right? So you become friends with that person. And you kind of... Even though I think there's always sexual...
But then you eventually need like a larger storage unit for that compartment.
Only if you surround yourself with more girls that you're friends with. Meaning, if you only have like one or two going at a time that you're like friends with, that you're attracted to, that you might want to sleep with.
Right. The focus is not just on one person.
Yeah, and
totally.
Also, romantically, I'm not a real chaser. Like, I'll be like, hi, how are you? Like once every 6 months and see what comes of it.
Right.
But I'm not going to I don't run after people.
Right. Okay.
Like I really don't.
Okay.
Corinne and I, like we would bump into each other a lot and we would text back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there was like
a lot of tweeting.
A mutual appreciation. I think it's like a mutual appreciation. But the
thing is, that's what I meant. That's the mutual appreciation thing though is unique though to someone you kind of have.
I think so, absolutely.
I would say another A word, which is adoration, but you know.
Well, yeah, no, but I tend to put the pussy in a pedestal. You know, these
put the pussy in a pedestal.
It's a tactic, yeah.
Well, it's not even a tactic. It's like I like to it's a lost art and it's not an art that guys usually do when they're trying to sleep with somebody.
You're a nice Jewish boy.
Yeah. I like that art, though.
But what you do...
It's respectful, and that's sexy in itself.
You like the art, but at the same time, like, you're not going to go home and fuck a guy at a party who's, like, treating you like a princess. That's not how it works for most women, I don't think.
Yeah. You would be correct.
So I don't... Like, relationship-wise, I don't really look for the quick fuck because ultimately I don't really go out a lot. Like I go, I'll go to a comedy show or I'll go out with like a friend one-on-one that I'm kind of like interested in talking to or like the magnificent, beautiful event that we're about to discuss.
Oh my God.
Someone will...
Now it's like way too good.
Like too important.
We birthed a fairy. I had to recover from calling it the incident.
You first laid eyes on Corinne Fisher at the UCB Theater.
Yes.
What went through your head upon looking at this beauty?
Okay, so the first thing that I thought to myself was...
No,
that's not true.
No, I never said that. Because
the first thing that I thought to myself... Well, I would never say it, but
that means you'll think it.
I would never say it, yeah. But the first thing that I saw was I saw Corinne by mistake in a show that she was putting up with her gay best friend that was like a two-person show.
Tommy, who was on an earlier episode.
Yeah.
Right.
And gay panel part two.
Right. And so I'd gone to see the show that was on the same bill as that show. But then I was like, you know, as somebody who's like doing comedy writing and stuff in New York, you're like...
You want to stick around and see what's going on.
Every girl who's mildly attractive, and Corinne is more than mildly attractive, but every girl who was
good
who was like sexy to you...
Mm-hmm.
if you can find a girl who does comedy that's also sexy, mm-hmm. that's like a fucking unicorn.
Explosion in the sky. Yeah.
So instantly you're like, oh my God, I'm in love with this person.
Right.
Because you're like, I'm never going to meet anyone else that I have that much in common with. Because
the Sarah Silverman syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, most of the time, those people are fucking insane.
Yes.
Because the
comedian that you think you're
in love with. Yeah, they've picked a profession that is in no way lucrative that makes them put themselves out there completely.
We're just passionate people.
Exactly.
No, we're not well.
Yeah.
All right, you're right. We're not. None of us are well.
I think we all have our crosses to bear, right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're just
louder about it than most professions because no one is well.
Well, yeah, most people.
Doctors don't get up and talk about their anxiety.
Most people don't. Yeah, most people don't make a living saying.
Everyone's a fucking
maniac. These are my insecurities. These are my deepest sort of fears. This is what I want to do sexually with another person. Like, no, most people don't host a podcast where they interview people that did oral
what
sex.
What do you
on them.
Mean? Yeah. What? Not so, common?
So. all of these things in mind, your first thought, which is my thought and every other guy in a comedy theater who does comedy writing for a living, is like, oh my God, there's a girl that I could actually sleep with who's
totally.
Also in comedy. Wow. Okay.
Jackpot.
Now, cut to like,
How many times have you rehearsed this in your mirror, Isaac?
Zero.
I was going to say, you're a very good talker. You're painting me a picture that I love.
Well,
Keep going. Give me more.
I know. Well, I said, you know,
I'm like a professional
a long
writer.
Time ago.
Bob Ross
okay, so while this is happening, I have a relationship with, you know, some comedy stuff in the city and the club that we're recording in now and everything that I can possibly do. I become friendly with Corinne.
Uh-huh.
And anytime an opportunity comes up for me to be helpful, I'm always there. But it's not just Corinne. It's a lot of people because I kind of dig like that's
helping.
Well, I like
not it. Just girls or girls.
No, guys, too.
Oh, okay.
Like, in fact, you could talk to.
So you're bi. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, you could talk to a lot of guys that I've gone down on. They'll tell you the same exact thing. No, I'm just kidding. OK, so.
You just like helping people out.
Well, yeah, because
I feel so used.
It's not that selfless because on some level you do it because you think it's going to come back around.
Totally. That's why anyone does anything.
That's not completely true.
You don't think I went to Africa to help build houses? I'm going to fucking Instagram that shit so everybody knows that's how good I am.
Anything that anyone ever did not to get anything in return, no one knows about.
Exactly.
Right.
If you're loud about it.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's part of the joy of helping,
now,
I guess.
Now. Then I go see her show, and then randomly I see her at her ex-boyfriend's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Saturday night.
At the time was my boyfriend.
Yes.
Right.
And it's like 1 a.m., and it's like a late show, and she's sitting in the audience by herself, and she's looking good. And I'm like, holy shit, there's that girl from the other thing, and she looks really good. I was like, wow, and she's here by herself. Clearly, I was like, I don't get out much. This is an opportunity. And so then, as soon as the show ends, I'm talking to another friend of mine. They're like, oh, by the way, she's going out with this guy. And
I like that everyone was like talking about me. Like I was like,
well, no, when you ask,
me is
that girl. It's
a bunch of like comedy dudes sitting around after
course,
a show. And they're like,
course.
Hey, by the way, did you see the one attractive girl that was in the theater tonight? And everybody else is like, yeah. I think
everyone was talking about how hot Corinne was.
Well, no, it was like being one other dude, but and so
how was he? Was he cute?
No.
Ah.
And I have to say, Corinne has been with far worse looking men than me. I have to toot my own horn there.
Who?
The dude who was on the podcast 2 weeks ago. I looked him up.
Oh God, I'm gonna have to do research.
I don't even remember who's on the podcast.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
okay, it's fine.
Anyway, so. So now I'm like, okay, so now I have this sort of this not a conundrum, but sort of like I just file it away as, oh, okay, so she's going out with a friend of mine. Great.
Right.
Okay, great.
It's a bummer, but you're like, I need to do accordingly.
Right. And then it's time. Well, because you know what? Like, personally, I wouldn't want my girlfriend fucking another guy. So I feel like
you wouldn't?
Yes, yeah, so that's proper
of course
etiquette.
Not. But also, you just want to be respectful of that relationship because I feel like
you kind of do.
You know, a lot of women, the whole thing of like, I shouldn't have to, if a guy's hitting on me, I shouldn't have to tell them. The one excuse that always works is I have a boyfriend because then they just respect the boyfriend and not me. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's that whole.
But then there's another, there's another awful school, which is like, you know, I find more often than not that you go out with a girl and then you share all your friends, but the majority of the friends that the girl comes away with are the guy's friends from
right.
the beginning of the relationship, and then everybody wants to jump out a window, mostly the guy. But
yeah.
Okay, so later I get involved with a comedy club, and I start bumping into Corinne places, and we become better and better friends.
Right.
Like, we're just being mutually supportive and all that.
Yeah.
And I never made any moves other than, like, just being, really like, nice. Hey, you live above 1,000th Street, and I live, like, 40 blocks earlier.
Yeah.
So if I'm taking a cab home, I'll give you a ride.
Yeah, yeah. You're just a mensch.
And also, you have this ability, too. Like, you're... willingness to help people out, it does come across as completely genuine. Like Corinne was saying, she never got creeped out. But a lot of guys do that, and you're like, you know, all they're literally, they might as well be yelling, I'm doing it because I want pussy.
Right.
They might as well be yelling it. But with you, you're a genuinely good person.
Exact. Well, no.
Precisely. Yeah, you really hit it there,
I'm
Christina.
I'm definitely not a genuinely good person. There are far better people than most of us. But, if there's a girl who's attractive and she needs a favor, I'll hook her up.
Of course, of course.
Or if there's like a guy whose talent I respect, I'll hook him up.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wow, I saw you. Nobody knows about you. You're awesome. Let me hook you up with whatever
I can. Well, that's like this. And then you have kind of like the manager in you. I have the same thing. And it's like if you see someone who is so talented and they're not getting the kind of representation or attention or nurturing that they deserve, you can't help but want to open up some doors for them if you have the ability to do so.
Right. So now on to the blissful event, the beautiful thing that happened.
There was a lot of other time in there.
There was, which is my point, is I never really made a direct advance.
You
in
didn't,
that time.
But I will say, I mean, my ex used to always say that you wanted to fuck me,
but he was also a jealous person.
He
right?
also felt like everybody wanted to fuck you.
He
in
did.
In fact, there exactly was one time where I tweeted out like a picture of like a prop from a sketch show I was doing of like a devil, I took a baby doll and put devil horns in it. It was for Halloween. We were going to have
I remember this tweet.
Somebody birthed the devil on stage.
Right.
Which had nothing to do with anything. And I think like Corinne had liked it. And then I responded on Twitter and all of a sudden it was weird. Like I heard it from somebody.
Anybody who's that jealous is so insecure.
Which is
with
the strangest
himself.
Thing ever.
Because like I get sometimes like if I'm at a bar and someone's hitting on my boyfriend, like Steve, I have this mentality of like if someone's hitting on them, I'm going to be like, bitch, what you doing? But really, I get why they would hit on him. I am with him. I am dating him. I find him attractive too. We can both agree. It's okay.
I also have issues with the fact that you call your boyfriend Steven, like his full name.
Everyone calls him Steven.
I did start it.
Didn't he ever chill like and be like, call me Steve or Stevie?
He just knew he had no choice when he met me. Okay. And I started calling him whenever I wanted to.
That's fair.
And now everybody calls him Steven.
I didn't know that.
I dated a guy named Chris and I always called him Christopher.
This is on me. Anytime I see someone in a happy relationship, I resent them because I have a fear of intimacy. That's my problem. That's not yours.
Oh, you and Corinne are a match, man.
Well,
I don't have a fear of intimacy. I just don't believe that true intimacy exists because everyone's a shitbag.
I think that you...
Can we get that on a bumper sticker?
No, it does exist.
I think despite what you...
It exists, Corinne.
I mean, what are we, in week two of it existing?
No, it's sort
with
of...
With me and Steven?
No,
oh.
Me.
Oh.
Can you just call him Steve once, just...
Uh-uh.
What's wrong with Steve?
I just don't like that name. It makes me think of a stoner who lives in his parents' basement. Yeah. I don't know why.
I knew a guy in Amsterdam who sold mushrooms, and we called him Dirty Steve because his name was Steve.
No one
and he was
named
dirty.
Steve is a clean person. I'm sorry, all the Steves listening out there.
How
they're like,
wait a minute, I'm
Steve?
Getting my doctorate.
How about Steve, who Miranda dated on Sex and the City?
That was a blue collar motherfucker, and not that anything bad with that, but it's like
we're going
Steve.
Off the rails.
You're not dating a Rockefeller.
No, I know that, but I don't know. I just like the name Steven.
Yeah.
Okay. You like what you like.
It's a good name. I mean, you know.
All right. Whatever.
So,
moving
okay,
on.
So later, because we don't have a year to do this show, right? Later.
I like how you're producing the show while
I
you're on
to,
it.
I tried
you're
to
such
produce
a comedy
it
writer.
Earlier today. Later, that's why I suck at improv, because I always write everyone's parts on stage, and
you
it's like, you can't
don't
do that.
Say. No, no, that's not, and the person would be like, and that's why I went to the monkey school, and they'd be like, no, that's not actually.
And also,
beginning.
I don't crave, like, drinking with random people I barely know until 3 a.m. every single night, which is like an improv
jab,
thing you have to do.
Jabberoo from Isaac.
Oh.
Now,
get
which
to the
brings
pussy
us
eating, please.
To the pussy thing. So Corinne,
when was the night you dropped your phone though? Was that before or after
that was
the pussy eating?
I think that was actually that was before.
I think it was before.
What happened?
So I explain this to you. I always just so the listeners understand. I always brief Christina, and she does the same for me, depending on whose guy it is. So she gets an email earlier, basically like summarizing in as summarizey as I can get of the relationship. And there was a night. Are we gonna? Because I'm gonna call you out on this.
On the text. I think we were drunk texting.
Do you want me to tell it? I wasn't drunk. You were drunk.
I was pretty hammered.
I was in my bedroom.
But what did I say exactly? Tell me, because I barely remember. But I do remember dropping my phone.
Cause I mean, I do remember this pretty clearly because it was about me and so positive. But
she wrote it down. She actually painted it on her wall. It's really, she has a problem. But
whatever it
I
is.
Projected it and then I painted over the projection.
Oh,
No, basically what you said was you confessed, I mean, kind of your love for me. And then you said that you don't like to see me too often because when you see me, like even the feeling of like seeing me makes you so nervous because you feel like you are unworthy of someone who is as beautiful and wonderful as me.
That does sound like the type of bullshit I would say. I'm sorry.
The type, but you meant
see,
it.
I love how everyone fucking gets on this pod.
It's a defense mechanism.
No,
is what
no,
it is. Everyone,
no. Yes, everyone that fucking is gets a defense mechanism. On this podcast and any nice shit they've ever
Here's
said
the
to
thing.
Me, they're like, oh no, I was just trying to bone
let's,
you.
Hold on. That's not true because I was not just trying to bone you.
And I'm sick of it. I'm taking a stand right here.
I agree. That does happen a lot.
Especially to me because I feel like it.
People don't want to give you the satisfaction of knowing that
Here's
they genuinely liked you and they were vulnerable.
Like, whatever.
I did.
My brother used to sing that every time he got something that he wanted from my mom.
Whatever.
He would sing whatever Lola wants and I thought it was magnificent. By the way, my brother is not a...
He's a straight
guy. He's not
guy.
A drag queen.
He sings show tunes, but he's super straight.
My brother's
Except
not a drag queen.
Fake lashes.
He's no, beautiful.
You also
lashes.
Take a step back and you realize, like, there's flirtation, which is great. Yeah. But then there's, like, in a relationship, Corinne would fucking devour me. Like, I wouldn't be able...
Oh, I tell people this all the time. It's a disclaimer.
Like, she would kill me.
It's
so,
the Surgeon General's
she actually,
warning.
Anybody
it's
who's
on
about
my
to
ass.
Ask her to be exclusive, right. She has this she makes him sign a waiver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To
yeah,
say,
yeah.
Just so you know, if I devour you, I am in no way responsible. And don't try and get your things back. And I ruin your life.
Right. So we're being flirtatious and stuff, right? But then it dies down. I think that was the night I was going to go get a new phone anyway. And the thing that sucked was that it was taking too long at the store.
I don't remember being flirtatious with you on text.
I think you were reciprocating.
I'm always coy.
Okay. So then we make a date to write, quote unquote, write at my apartment.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Isaac thinks that the night of the event that I was trying to do something, I really had full intentions of writing that night.
Did you think she thought?
I
honestly had no thought whatsoever that we were going to hook up. As
but
evidence,
you wanted it, of course. Why
I mean,
wouldn't you?
Listen, if a girl's in your apartment and she's interested in you, you're not going to not do it if you're attracted to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it
There's
was like...
always that wonderful but if.
Right, but the compartmentalization of Corinne as like a person that I'm not going to ever really be in a relationship with or probably hook up with is already there. So I'm not...
I see,
And
I
the
see.
Night begins...
But you've offered many times to take me away and take care of me.
Yeah, but it wasn't...
I mean, are these just things that you're throwing to see if I'll bite? Are these just like little fairy
you know
tale
it was
dreams?
More like,
please explain.
It's like the end of Boogie Nights where Dirk comes back. to the house and Jack gives him a big hug. It was kind of like, you know, I think that I know you relatively well.
Right.
And then I do think that at your core, you are looking for love with someone. And I think that a lot of the rest of it, like a lot of the banging and the sexual gratification stuff.
Right.
I think is you know, it's partly fun, but I think you're also looking for that person.
I mean, not when I'm like fucking random people.
Right. Well, so I didn't think anything was going to happen. You come over, right?
Right.
We eat Chinese food.
We
right?
do.
Okay.
Good start.
I actually had like, I think I had my laptop out on the table, like ready to go.
Yeah.
We talked for a bit about work a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like, I think you said like the beginning of a concept. You complained that we were listening to music that I like and you demanded Kesha, which I then put on. She demanded Kesha radio station, which I then put on for her.
Such a me move.
Huh? Kesha.
No, I wasn't drunk yet, but it's just like, it's a fucking Friday. I don't need to listen to your weird vibe sounds.
Well, I had put on writing music. Which
I don't want to hear sounds.
Mean,
I want to hear music.
You mean you don't want to listen to the sounds of the ocean over a box? Then
oh, Jesus Christ.
Which, by the way, is not music that I put on when I'm trying to sleep with somebody. That's music that I put on because it's...
I didn't think you were trying to fuck me. I just thought you were trying to bore me to death.
Oh, well. Or some might say, create an atmosphere that's conducive to writing comedy.
And
that's just me.
My atmosphere involves Kesha.
All right, well, we were in my apartment, so fuck you.
That is a good point, Corinne.
Did or did not Kesha come on, Isaac?
Oh, yeah, you were like, put on Kesha. And I was like, fine. I was like, clearly this
like,
is more important to you
like,
than it is to me,
Miss
so I'll
pussy,
fucking put
I
on
want
Kesha.
Pussy.
That's
okay.
not
Whatever.
What happened.
I know.
And
I
so
know.
Then, and so at this point, I think it's like, you know, we were drinking, which is also part of the writing process.
Right.
And then I think at one point, Corinne was like, I want Starburst. And I was like, all right.
Jesus, you're the biggest brat.
You when I'm drunk, I had, okay.
This, she was hammered at this point.
I was hammered. Please.
You are a brat when you're hammered.
Okay, so I need to explain this.
I'm still, by the way, not making any moves.
We're both really annoying when we're drunk.
Oh, totally.
I don't think I'm a brat. I'm not always a brat when I'm drunk. I'm a brat when I'm around people that exactly. I know I can get what I want from.
She's like, here's what I want.
AKA Isaac.
Right. And mind you, I'm not like a big dater. Like,
yeah,
I'm like,
we know you're a fucking recluse.
Right, I'm a complete recluse.
we get it.
So I'm not like, for me, it's like the expectation that like
fucking JD Salinger over here.
Well, a young JD Salinger. But
he's never gonna forget you said that. He's gonna actually put that quote on his next book
with better hair
and not tell
hair.
You.
All right.
Now
no one will be able to read the sarcastic tones in the words.
You also didn't tell me how good I look. Because I'm fucking working.
Oh, sorry. Isaac texted me before the podcast to say to please comment on the air how good he looked because he's been working out.
Well, how good do I look?
You look amazing. Great.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you guys. you didn't have to say
you
that.
You like seem genuinely surprised.
You really didn't have to say that.
All right.
Okay, so now
we're
listening to Kesha.
He's setting a mood. I do like this.
Yeah, we're listening to Kesha. We had eaten like a token Chinese food dinner, which was
if this was me, I would have tried to take a shit in your toilet, realized it couldn't, and left. So good for you for the ironclad stomachs.
I think you could get it done if you really wanted it.
I don't know. I'm fine.
We were fine. It was a light dinner. We had a lovely light dinner. We were listening to Kesha.
Yeah, I was still hungry. That's why I was complaining about
then
the Starburst.
And she goes, I want a Starburst. And so then I do what I always do because I am the way I am. Call the diner downstairs. I'm like, please bring up some Starburst.
The diner had Starburst?
It was actually the store across the street, the bodega.
The bodega delivers Starburst.
Whatever you want if you pay him enough. So,
yeah, you like
Wait, come on. Are you rich?
Like dead children?
Are you like a rich person?
No, I'm not.
Are you wealthy?
He has enough.
Do you have a savings account with money in it?
I do.
I'm not rich
by any means, but I had.
You can order Seamless every night. I don't want to. That's the kind of people I hang with.
Let's put it this way: I've worked very hard for a long time, and now
that's awesome.
Of course,
you're
very
Jew,
and you're
very talented. Well, there we go. You're a talented human.
That's very sweet of you to say. Thank you. So okay, so now we're like three vodka sodas in.
Mm-hmm.
She's eating Starburst. We're on the couch, and I think I brought up a couple more times, like maybe we should get back to the writing stuff.
You did. You kept saying that.
Yeah, I kept saying that.
But the thing was, I was a little bit like in a funk, and so I just like I did want to write, but for me I have a real hard time focusing.
Right. Okay. So you were unfocused, and we were hanging.
And if I just don't have it, I just don't have.
Yeah. And I kept saying like, hey, let's do the thing. Let's write.
Right.
And so then Corinne gets up, and she lays down on my bed, and she says,
We watched Broad City before this.
We did. We watched a few episodes of Broad City.
Okay, thank you.
And then lays down. And it's not even that late at this point. It's probably like 11:30 maybe.
Yeah.
And Corinne lays down in my bed and she says, and I'm still in my living room area, by the way.
I was
going to
say, you guys were in the living room.
Yeah.
It's like a big studio.
It's like an L-shaped studio.
It's a studio.
Okay.
So it wasn't crazy that I went to his bed.
Right, so my bed's like around
studio.
The corner.
Right, because I'm like, did you just go down the hall to his bed?
No.
And I'm like, how
and so, when you're drunk and you get tired.
Right, so she's in my bed and she goes, wow, this is a really comfortable bed. There, I'm sitting on the couch
Which
and I'm like.
I said it innocently, but
I didn't
think. Wow, this is a really comfortable bed.
That was sort of, well, it wasn't, I don't know. What are you supposed to do in that situation? I'm like, all right, so. And then also like so logically speaking, I get into bed with her and one thing
he laid down next to me.
I think
me.
I laid down next to you. It was very sweet.
That's
And at that point we probably could have just fallen asleep together.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. But I'm also not really comfortable sleeping with like people that I'm not in a relationship with in my bed.
Because you're a fucking maniac and you're the only one in New York City who has a problem with this.
It could be.
Yeah,
I've
slept with friends in my bed. My best guy friend in my bed. Like it was totally there's no weird vibes.
Yeah, I sleep next to my friend Raj all the time.
Well, let me ask you this, and we're fast forwarding here. Mm-hmm. But when you sleep with Raja, do you completely
Raj. He's a man.
When you sleep with Raj, do you completely sprawl out like arms and legs?
No, because I'm usually not hammered and on a Starburst high.
Because that's what put me on the couch. I was like, this is a battle that I cannot win.
You basically just set up my Katy Perry-like dream sex zone. You know,
right.
there's Starburst, there's Kesha.
There's Lisa Frank on the wall.
So that's how this was happening. Right. So we're there. We're listening to Haim. And
really into Haim, guys. Yeah.
Me down.
And so then...
Isn't it Haim?
I don't know what the
fuck
it is.
I think it's
Haim. I think it's like,
I saw them in concert. I don't know. All I know
Haim
is the bassist with the red lips rocks
out. And also, let me say, I was raised like pretty Jewish. So to me, like...
No.
Yeah, very Jewish. But like, me, like all the kids I grew up with, like, you don't really like fuck someone right away. It's not what you do. You fool around first, you know? So...
Oh, boy.
I will say that I think you enjoy. I think that you enjoyed yourself.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Don't
when
just
was,
skip no, over no, no, it.
When Isaac.
Yeah.
When was the moment where you're like, I'm gonna try to get a pussy?
I don't remember. Like,
were
I
you
feel
hammered
like,
too?
I feel like we got. I wasn't. I never get as drunk as anyone. It's like a yeah. problem that I have. I'm
no.
Never,
it's like, probably it's like a good thing. Manipulation move.
It's really not because I drank as much, if not a little more than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but you're also bigger than me.
I'm a lot bigger than you.
Yeah,
but you know,
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, well, she never saw it because
I asked her.
I'm a gentleman. I don't take out my dick on the first hookup date.
No, I saw no dick.
You know what? I want a gentleman who doesn't take out his dick on the first date.
I mean, all I remember is like I don't remember how the decision was made. I do remember my pants coming down, and I was like, "Eh, I ain't mad."
Well, that was kind of the whole.
I ain't mad.
It was like Corinne's whole attitude.
Bitches be like.
Although
it's very hard to turn down a pussy eating.
Well, I do, but I do think that to a degree you seem to enjoy it. Like,
I love getting my pussy eaten.
Okay,
who doesn't?
And so, because there were a few leg quivers in there, like I could tell, as evidence as when I was done, like a dude,
mm-hmm.
you literally were like, and then you sprawled out, arms and legs. It was like, and then arms and legs.
I'm the best.
And then I was like, all right, maybe we could continue a cuddle or something.
Oh, gross.
Or how intimate. Whatever it could possibly be. But then I looked down and I was like, the entire bed, like all the surface area is gone. and it almost felt like a little bit, I felt like I was the chick.
I like to sleep like Jesus.
You sound like the chick in this. Well, I'm the typical scenario.
What am I going to do? I mean, and then also I'm like,
I think most men are the chick in when they're with me.
Well, then you get into this gray area where it's like, all right, well, should I try to fuck her now? I don't know. She's kind of like out of it.
Yeah.
Would you have?
If
I had pursued it,
I feel like
it,
if
yeah.
she'd been like somewhat receptive, but then in my brain, I'm like, this is weird because she came over to do what was supposed to be a writer's meeting.
Oh, brother,
no writing happened. And
but
then,
what a story!
But a lot of other fun shit happened.
Right, and so then she stayed over, which is very rare for me because most of the time, honestly, I really don't want girls staying over for the most part.
Corinne kind of does what she wants, and then everyone has to deal with it.
And that's a comfort issue. And so I went and I slept on the couch, and you slept in my bed.
I was gonna say, tell me you slept on the couch.
Oh, I did.
Or the floor.
No, I got up and I was like, I would rather be comfortable than push Corinne over or try to reposition her. And then
did after you ate her out, she just literally slipped into a coma?
Yep.
She was like,
I was drunk and pussy eating makes me very tired.
It was like
having my pussy eaten, I'm sorry.
Poor thing.
It's exhausting.
She acted like a guy who had just gotten a blowjob. That is exactly how she acted.
But like the guy, the selfish guy a little bit. Did you
oh,
even try to reciprocate?
Selfish.
No, that wasn't happening. Listen,
that wasn't happening.
Listen.
You come over for a writer's meeting and then you end up saying, wow, this bed is really comfortable.
But I'm drunk and if you want to eat my pussy, that's fine. But that doesn't.
But she didn't volunteer.
Remember, ladies, you never owe a man anything.
Listen. Listen.
Ladies.
Listen. You can't
tell your auntie that, Ariel.
Ladies, you can't please everyone, but you can keep licking till they wave you off.
Oh, my God. Can I just imagine me like, okay, be gone, peasant.
Well, it was kind of like that, but then I was like, I have way more money than you, so I'm not
well,
the peasant.
This is an interesting dynamic because you are so nice and accommodating. Corinne, you always feel when that's the type of personality that the guy has that you can kind of see what you can get away with.
Well, she takes advantage for sure.
Yeah, of course.
You like seeing what you can get away with.
Yep.
But you also don't mind that she likes seeing what
well,
she can get away with?
I'm completely conscious of what's going on. I'm like,
right.
You know what?
Like, you're not like, she fooled me. Oh.
Also, sexually for me, it's like I like making girls come more than I like coming myself.
I hear
myself.
That a lot.
Steven is like that. Yeah. And I love
Craig Mahoney
that.
Said no, the same
when,
thing.
Because when you get like a leg quiver, you're like, oh, fuck, I did a good job.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Yeah,
and then if it does continue, you can essentially do whatever you want and the girl's satisfied and you're really happy. So
right.
So that's the gist.
What did her vagina taste like?
It was pretty good. It was relatively clean.
How many vaginas
what?
Did it taste
like? I mean, for someone who does like 20 spots a night.
It was relative. What a fuck. Oh, my God.
She had 20 spots that night? What are you talking about?
I showered
right before I came over. My hair was still wet.
Ah, you see, that's a thing. You showered right before you came over.
I shower before I go. Between my day life and my night life, I shower before I do a fucking open mic in a store.
You want to clean off the filth of your day job.
Yeah.
Go do your dream job.
Well, right. Exactly. Yeah, it is kind of like that. It's kind of like
change modes.
Corinne 1, Corinne 2. Too.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, I'd do it all over again if I had to. And,
so you weren't in any way pissed that
oh, absolutely
she didn't
not. No, because I think that we both, and again, this whole idea that like I have this dying admiration for Corinne, it's like I do respect her. I think she's a great person.
Ugh.
I also know that like you know, I can't operate at her speed. There's no way.
Yeah.
We're very different people. And so I also got the impression that
You made me seem like a coke addict.
Well, no, then later
and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to go to the bridge, and then we're going to go this.
Actually, recently we hung out. We've hung out since then, completely platonic, just being friends.
When's the last time we hung out?
We were in DC. We went to a horrible fucking thing.
I met up with Isaac in DC when I was in DC with Paula.
Yeah, and we went to the worst place.
Oh, yeah. We were randomly in DC at the same time. Yeah.
Wait, I have a question, though, about the pussy eating.
Please.
Thing. How did you initiate this is about to go down? Did you start taking off her pants?
Yeah.
And she was like,
I believe he just started slipping off my pants. And like in my mind, I'm like, maybe this shouldn't be happening. And I'm like, this is happening.
There was a lot.
I get very, very horny when I'm drunk.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, me too.
Well, listen, I'd like to thank you for giving me the amazing opportunity.
This is like a dream.
Corinne is going to, I don't know if your head's going to fit out.
I didn't mean that. I was being sarcastic.
Really? You sounded very genuine.
I know. It's kind of a thing that I do.
You know what? I don't like this podcast because everyone who I think adores me, I just come on. I'm like, I've been fucking punked by the male ego once again.
No, I do adore you. I think that you're wonderful. I think that you're wonderful.
Adore me.
And I will always be here for you.
Well,
and I think that you're great.
All right. This is a bunch of bullshit.
But you know, I'm not a bitch.
Oh my God.
So, you aren't a bitch.
No.
Because you do a lot of nice things, like very nice things.
Yeah, and like that's the thing that I do. I like
it's kind of suave, I feel like, the way you do it.
It kind of is.
It's not like a whipped.
I also prefer.
You're a man with connections.
Whatever that means. But yes.
No, I like you. Come take me into the network, the salad bar.
That was pretty good. Corinne came to the...
Do you ever see yourself...
One time, Corinne came and had lunch with me at a major network that I was working at, and she enjoyed it. It was nice. It was like going to Disneyland for Corinne.
I did. I liked it, yes.
I was like, this is where television gets made. She was like, oh my God, tell me more.
Wow, Isaac, tell me all about it.
She's like, tell me more than
eat
my pussy.
I'm so impressed. Can you eat my pussy while you tell it? Can you just eat my pussy? I don't really even know about this bullshit.
Oh my God. Just fucking tell me.
Look, it's Barbara Walters.
Oh my God. So I like getting my pussy eaten. So
she likes it. Yeah. She's the queen.
So you like eating girls' pussies?
I enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that your favorite sexual activity? What's your favorite thing to do with a woman sexually?
It's eating pussies and doggy are my two favorite things to do.
Doggy style.
What a smorgasbord.
I don't get why some people have said that they think doggy style is demeaning. I don't think it's demeaning at all.
I think it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, number one, it's called doggy style. Well, so right there.
Yeah, but any sex position, you look stupid.
No. I don't feel like it's demeaning. It is also my favorite position, but I can see why people think it's demeaning. You're on your hands and fucking knees.
Yeah, but to get fucked, I don't know.
I think, fucked, exactly.
I think that's sexy, though. I think that's the part of it that turns me on a lot.
You also said you like being dominated and humiliated a little bit.
A little. Humiliated, I haven't explored that part, but I have an inkling that I really like it more than I think I do, but I'm too nervous to explore it. Does that make sense?
No, I understand.
Because I don't want to go too far that I'm like emotionally destroyed.
Right.
Because I have a big ego.
If you want Corinne to humiliate you right now.
No.
Okay. I was just
kidding. But what were you going to say?
I don't know, but Corinne's looking at me like I just caught AIDS or something. I don't know what's going on. Oh my God.
You did catch AIDS from my semi-clean vagina.
All right. Listen, I think we're almost done here.
All right. Do you have any last?
You are not producing the show. I don't know who you think you are.
Well, actually, our producer just signaled to Rhett.
Yeah,
I can't see him.
I'm the guy paying attention to what's going on. You must be the other guy.
Are you still going to try to eat Corinne's pussy out again? Or are you just going to leave it at a friendship?
I mean, listen.
It could happen.
You hang around Corinne long enough, you're gonna end up eating her pussy. But like,
wow,
that ain't true. I never ate Corinne's pussy.
You wrote that one, and you couldn't wait to deliver it.
I did not.
That was
you. You were gonna tweet it, but you said in the draft.
I called pre-written on that.
That's not true. I just riffed off of what she said.
Oh my God!
How could I possibly have written? Listen, I had a lot of things to say here, but clearly,
well, is there one last thing?
Yeah, take us around. Do a quick lap.
I'd like to say that Corinne's wonderful.
Oh God. I don't believe any of this anymore.
I think that she's a powerful and attractive woman.
Okay, you stole that from Gene Simmons.
Yes, Gene Simmons once said that to me, and he made me feel really powerful and attractive, so I say it to women now.
Oh, God.
Really? Gene Simmons really gets you going?
Well, really quickly, because I think we're low on time. Because I'm producing the fucking show now. But I was an intern at the Howard Stern Show, and I got Gene Simmons to sign a release.
Let me pick up those names.
Well, there you go. And so I said to one of the other interns, and so then when I said goodbye to him, he was like, "Thank you very much. You're a powerful and attractive man." And I was like, I said that to one of the other interns.
No one means that.
I was like, "Oh my God, I feel so good because he called me a power." And then one of the interns goes, "That's just what he says when he says goodbye to random people."
It's like his funny
hope. Well, because it actually is the ultimate thing that people want to hear, which is everyone wants to hear that they're attractive.
That's
and that sly they're powerful.
Fuck. That's why he says it.
He's a greasy guy.
Very interesting.
Everyone wants to hear they're attractive. Everyone wants to hear they're powerful. Everyone wants to get their pussy eaten if they have one. And everyone wants
everyone wants to get their penis
delivered from the bodega downstairs.
There you go.
I don't think we should be criminalized for this.
Yeah, be honest about what you want.
No, I do it again in a heartbeat.
Go and get it.
I do it again in a heartbeat. I wouldn't trade any second of our time together. I thought it was all beautiful.
Do it again when in a tongue thrust.
In a tongue thrust.
I don't know. That's a lot of fluid in that vagina.
Yeah, that's just so much.
That was a fluidy vagina.
Wouldn't that be a weird way to die?
All right, I think we're almost out of time.
Isaac.
Who the fuck? Who's fucking co-hosting this show?
Isaac.
Sorry, all right, now I'm going to have to pull a Corinne and be like, shut the fuck up, all right? We got the mics. Thank you for coming on. You are awesome.
It was a pleasure. I had a great time.
You're so really fun.
Yeah, I'm super fun.
Can people find you on Twitter?
No, I think you're saying private.
I'm not giving out any of my details on this shit.
So we're not going to...
No, he's a private one.
I don't want to promote stuff because...
real people.
Yeah, I have
these
stuff.
Real people.
Sure.
If things
I gotcha.
Happening.
He has bigger things than the little old guys we fucked podcast going on.
That little old craft show you're doing.
This little
your crafty painting.
Guys, I totally support public radio. I love it.
Wait. And this
ain't radio, bitch.
The most important thing that I want to say is that we will be in Los Angeles. We're flying in Friday night, which is the 15th. We'll be there through August the 20th. And you can catch us at a few places. We're going to be on Sunday the 17th, Vaucluse Lounge, 8210 Sunset Boulevard. That is an 8 p.m. show. And then on Tuesday the 19th, we are on two shows. One is Sleepaway Camp at the Downtown Independent on Main Street. And then also we're having fun here at the Palace on Hillhurst Avenue in Los Feliz. They're both at 9 p.m. We're going to be doing both shows probably earlier
on
we're having fun here and later on Sleepaway Camp. So if you live near any of those shows, please
come out and see us. And also follow us on social media because we'll post all that stuff there too. Because, you know, it's hard to remember.
It's at SRYAboutLastNYT, sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com, and the rest will be put on the SoundCloud. Listen on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast.
And we love you.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Whatever Lola wants.